This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. George Zimmerman's acquittal for the murder of Trayvon Martin is reigniting calls for a national conversation about race. CNN News analysts and other on-air personalities repeated the phrase several times over the weekend. But is it the media's job, after racially charged events like this, to maintain calm, or should it initiate a dialogue? Joining us is On the Media's co-host Brooke Gladstone. Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
There were similar calls for unity and conversation in the wake of the Rodney King verdict, the O.J. Simpson verdict.
And more recently, the Edward Snowden leak.
Really?
Huge numbers of calls for national conversations about security versus privacy and so on.
What would a national conversation look like? I understand that people turn to the media for this conversation because this is where they can unite around the speakers or around their computers and hear what other people are saying, and with social media see what other people are tweeting. But what is the media's job in facilitating this kind of talk?
I think the media have an important job in bringing these issues to the fore. The question really is when and how. I was talking to the Tampa Bay Times media critic last week, Eric Deggans, who discusses these kinds of issues a lot. And he said, the way that you should have conversations about race and equality in America is not right after a huge national event like this, which is so fraught because all the parties to the struggle are dug in. There's no possibility for compromise. But then you say, all right, well, if there isn't a news event, what's the reason to pay attention? I mean, ours is a peg-driven business.
Right.
And he says we should be having those conversations all the time. So the question is, how do you have them? Should we have reporters who are devoted to tracking issues where race and ethnicity and inequality are issues on a regular basis when people can be clear-headed about them?
Right, right. I remember the New York Times did a few years back a series, a big front page above the fold series.
It was a spectacular series. On the other hand, it was a one-time thing. The thing is that if you want coverage to be there so that it will be front of mind for people in a way that doesn't have them deeply invested in proxy issues like either guns, which in this case is a direct issue, or just, you know, these sort of values where you've picked a side and then you've stuck on it and you stay there. And if you really want to have a discussion about how this plays out everywhere and what can be done to create a sense of justice and fairness for all, then you need to do it at a time when people aren't polarized.
And yet, Brooke, I think all the time journalists look at stories through the lens of race because that is a way to inform a story, and that is a point of conflict. That's where you get the juice.
I think you're absolutely right.
A lot of the stories in New York are framed through race, so I feel that we have this conversation all the time.
I think you're absolutely right. New York is a uniquely ethnically rich environment, and people are used to talking about these things and seeing these things this way. Sometimes it really isn't about race. It might be about economic inequality. It could be about a lack of political representation. All of those things are important and are discussed here. In fact, Eric Deggans says sometimes race becomes an issue that comes up when it really has no relevance whatever. There was some complaint during the coverage of the trial that there wasn't enough discussion of race then, but that's because it didn't actually come up in the trial.
Right.
So now we're having those conversations on the basis of what the jury said.
And yet, are we having conversations, or like with the discussion about abortion issues, people are really entrenched in their position, and there's a lot of heat and yelling and talk, but very little in terms of either side shifting one way or the other toward a common ground.
Those who are in favor of abortion rights are, you know, some of them are very entrenched with, you know, universal rights, but most people see some gray area there. For those who are opposed to abortion, there is less gray area. In the case of inequality and justice with regard to issues that are bound up in race, I think there is more gray area, but you don't see it after a huge polarizing event.
Brooke Gladstone is co-host of WNYC's On the Media. Thank you so much, Brooke.
You're welcome.
This is WNYC.